Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community at allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between in our craft of selling art with Rich the Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Friday, come fill my eyes with open poetry, and every other Saturday, join Gray Eyes howling at the moon in the Canadian wilds as he brings you bad company. And if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then check out our after midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m. Monday through Saturday mornings. Join Victoria tonight as she brings you Hearts of LNP. Tuesday, take a walk on the wild side. Join Neutron and Cap as the After Midnight Bombers on Wednesdays. Thursdays are split between... Oh, damn. I just put that one off real. Delve into World of Strange Magic with Anywhere Dust. Or... Wow. Black Lace Diaries with Mistress Frost and Mr. M. Fridays are split between Crawling into Darkness with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babbler as they teach you the fine art of Art Sinner, Art Saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. Good evening there, Pam. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good, you know, keeping busy. As always, I enjoy listening to you do that intro and, you know, make sure that all the shows get promoted. Always appreciative of that. And how are you doing?
All right. Now that I've done losing my place.
Right. Now that you know, now that you're back on track and driving the train full speed and all that.
I got to redo this.
Well.
Yeah, I got to redo this page again.
Yeah, well, I think you do an excellent job with that. So, you know, it's very cool. I have to say, you know, I think this was a great idea for the delays to have a show featuring their music. I wish I had known them a little better, you know, but I've enjoyed listening to their music while, you know, from the that you provided from the contest. It's, you know, extremely sad that the lead singer Greg Gilbert passed away and after battling cancer for so many years.
Yes, the idea for this was a thanks to Rich F. He brought it to my attention and hit me up with a little bit of a blurb and the music, because I hadn't heard of the delay, so.
Yeah, me neither. But you know what? I think that's one of the great things about when you tell people, if you have, like, you reach out to people, you say, if you have any ideas for a music show, you know, message me. And you know, Rich is really good about that, but, you know, about, you know, when he has ideas, sharing them. And so, yeah, definitely really appreciative of that. And like you, I had never heard of them either. So and that's, you know, and that's what I really like. I really honestly do like being introduced to new music. And to music I hadn't heard before, because then, you know, to get to appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. The hell of a voice.
And, oh, my goodness, yeah, like that falsetto voice. Wow. He can hit some amazing notes. And
yeah.
I don't
know. Can't get that high unless you're squeezing their appendages really hard.
right. Yeah, that is definitely a rare gift. And I believe his brother, right, plays the keyboards in the band.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we recently held a tribute to him after his untimely passing from bowel cancer.
Yeah.
Don't hear that too often.
No, you don't. And you know what? I think, you know, my heart, honestly, I mean, like I said, I don't know the music. I don't know the guy, but my heart goes out to his family and friends. You know, it's just, You know, and the thing is we tend not to want to talk about cancer, but we especially tend not to want to talk about cancer that involves more private areas of the body. It's almost like it becomes hush-hush. And one of the things I was reading about is how this guy, he was diagnosed in 2016, and he documented, he wrote poetry and did artwork to kind of like document the, I don't know if document is the right thing, because it's not documenting, but you know what I mean? Like, I can't think of the right word, but in order to, you know, kind of bring awareness and I don't know. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, he wrote poetry while he was going through his cancer, and he drew artwork while he was going through it.
A kind of therapy.
Yep. But he actually put it out there. His poetry is published in a pamphlet, and it actually won an award. So, but definitely. I think he put it out there for other people as well, but I think it also, like you said, it was definitely probably a kind of therapy. Oh, and by the way, I did bring Tom on, so welcome, Tom.
Okay,
glad
great.
You could join us.
Cool. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, thank you. Good to hear you from you. Always love your introduction.
Yep. Always good to have you join us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Excellent. All right, since you dug up a poem, why don't we start the show with that one?
Oh, okay. Absolutely.
Well, we're going to go ahead, and I found online a poem written by the lead singer of the Delays, Greg Gilbert. So we have Paper Face by Greg Gilbert and Rex. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. Paper Face by Greg Gilbert. This led to this, led to this, led to this. I've grown afraid of the pains in my body, so turned away, lost alignment with bone, sun and prayer, with insect feet, that saxophone, the skin smell of mint leaves rubbed between fingers. Became a paper face, divorced from a spine, and a thinness that could slip between salt, could slide down towards light. And when I dared to look again, after life-saving mutilation, I begged for readmission to my body. A sculptural wish for the hands, for the constriction of clay drying on skin for a coherent form. A compulsion to draw unmade sculptures as tribute to that body long gone, as rebuke to amnesia of contour. Tumorous, reduced figures hinting at bodies. This led to this. Led to this, led to this, and all those little fictions, banking up my debt or leaf mold, would suddenly be shown as faceless, handless statuary, an erasure of identity which made for swift production, furious inking when I was supposed to be sleeping, and soon I was bald and buried beneath them. What do they tell, these convalescent drawings? Nothing I could tell myself to my face and phone. All right, Tom, why don't we start with you? What do you think about that?
Well, this is really stunning. I like the title because I was with my mother when she died of cancer, and there's a lot of this tenuousness, this feeling of things becoming tenuous and thin, and your relationship with your body changes. He captures so much in this that it's really stunning. I'm almost speechless with some of what I was listening to. It's just such a really honest revelation type piece that it really makes the experience just present and strong for anybody who hears it. I really am having a hard time finding words. This is great stuff.
Oh, excellent, Dad, Tom. Thank you very much. And Pam, how about you?
You know, this is just a beautifully written poem, and it is a difficult one to talk to comment on, because it is about a painful and ugly subject, and so much of the imagery is ugly because it's meant to be. It has to convey that whole idea, or it conveys that whole idea of the changes and the pains and both the physical, like I feel like there's here, it's all about both the physical and the emotional pains that someone would go through. Now, I haven't ever, I've known people who have cancer, but I've never been around somebody who died, you know, when they died. But, you know, this is, it's so just, oh my goodness. It's an amazing poem. And I really like the imagery of, so turned away, lost alignment with bone, sun, and prayer, with insect feet, that saxophone, the skin, and the smell of mint leaves rubbed between fingers. It feels like almost like in that first stanza, the idea of trying to hold on to those little comforts and having it feel like it's falling all apart. And soon I was bald and buried beneath them. What do they tell, these convalescence drawings? Nothing I could tell myself to my face. And I see what they're, beneath the poem, you can see what I'm guessing must be one of his artworks. And that is absolutely stunning, too. But, yeah, this is a powerful write, really just pulls at the heartstrings. Wonderful use of imagery, and very well done.
Great comments, you guys. I got to start with that picture. It's only a partial, yet it shows the thought of once being healthy and what draws down from that. Until you get to the end and you get the full image drawn upon, and there you get the full image of the voice that he offers up, the insect legs, the detachment of bone from skin, paper face, that sort of being that thin, that the skin offers up a papery thin layer of the bone itself. And the thought of being so thin that you'd slip between salt would slide down towards life. It's such a quiet, nonchalant, but telling thought in that motion. And then again, the sculptural wish for the hands, for the constriction of clay drying on skin for a coherent form, wishing that that ease of body to be shown once more that was healthy. And soon I was bald and buried beneath them. What did they tell, these convalescent drawings? Nothing I could tell myself, my face. I understood in that point in time. And I agree with Tom. There's a lot in this because I was around. My mother died of cancer. So there's an ease of understanding that note of the thinness, the draining of color, the understanding of hair loss, and all those little temporal thoughts that he's offered here are quite the ease of thought to that which was going on in the body in offering without brutality, even though the brutality is drawn on with the metaphorical use to this piece itself. A wonderful and jarring thought to that which was actually going on from someone who was used to penning music rather than something as a almost an epitaph for that. which she was living.
Absolutely. Well said there, Rex. All right. And
where we go next?
All right. Well, I figured, Tom, I went ahead and put your poem up. Go ahead and give it a refresh, please.
After that last poem, it should be interesting. This is Moon Room. Yeah, hear that steamboat whistle. Hear that foghorn moan. Listen to that jetliner passing low over our room. Yeah, you know I'd talk to you, baby, try to heal your hurt, but something in your eyes says none of my words would work. Yeah, I'd love to be with you, woman, but you're so all alone. The sunlight's a-shining, yeah, and there's not a cloud in the sky. Listen to all those birds singing. You know, it's better than hearing me cry. Yes, we've shared water, split a bottle of wine, talked about all those high noons with all their truths and fair share of lies. Yeah, I'd never do nothing to hurt you, nothing to bring you down. And you know, I'd be with you, woman, but you're so all alone. There is moonlight on your pillow, starlight on your hair. Can you hear my heart beating, saying, I'm glad that I'm here. I never could try to buy you, find you now, or take you for my own, because you held me, loved me, yeah, I know you have. You've never told me to leave you, but I know someday I will. Someday I will have to go. We know it don't change things, cause baby, you're so all alone. End poem.
Great read, Tom. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Oh, I like this. First of all, on the reading, I always enjoy Tom's reading. He has wonderful pause, pitch, and punch. But my absolute favorite readings that you do, Tom, is when you have that very rhythmic tone to your voice. It almost has like a jazz beat type feel to it, like you captured in this. That's my absolute favorite. And written back in 1979, well, I tell you, if this was a longer show, I'd want to hear the long story behind the poem. I'm very intrigued by that. But what I really like, okay, this is a great write all the way through, but in the first stanza, I really like how you mentioned the steamboat whistle, the foghorn moan, and then you mentioned that at some point the bird singing, so you have to me this idea of the music of life. It's not just the songs that you play on the radio or the songs that you play on the vinyl. It's the steamboats, the birds, you know, the life that makes music. I like the imagery in that second to last. And I like how, you know, it's intriguing to me because on one hand, it seems almost romantic, and yet, on the other hand, you know, because of that last stanza, there's really this intriguing thought of that, you know, the relationship is going to end. You know this woman is going to be alone. And it feels like within that last stanza, it's kind of somebody just trying to appreciate and enjoy what they have in the moment, even if, while at the same time they know that it's going to end. So just a wonderful read and write all the way through, and very well done.
Oh, thank you very much.
Nicely said, Dan. Thank you. Tom, hand hit on the sort of music of life, but I was drawn to that which you seem to be offering up as music in here as well. A steamboat whistle, foghorn moan, had me thinking of Proud Mary. the jet airliner had me think of Steve Miller's song, Big Old Jet Airliner, as well as Back in the USSR. And The Sunlights Are Shining had me thinking of Beatles, Here Comes the Sun. You've got a lot of little references. And then there's Moonlight, I'm Being Followed by a Moon Shadow. You got a lot of seemingly song reference. I don't know if that was deliberate or just the feeling itself, but it works that way musically as well. But as far as the other end of this goes with the woman, yeah, I'd love to be with you, woman, but you're so all alone. It's kind of that notation of someone who takes up company when she needs it, but always crawls back into herself somewhere down the line, and that relationship is just kind of a short-lived vision that she needs something in the moment, but she's all kind of wrapped up in herself, or maybe if she prefers more of the alone time as opposed to the time spent together, which she enjoys in a moment, but it's kind of like a passing thought. And there's a note to angst in this from your voice with this, because you still want, you'd love to be with her, but you know you're going to end up out the door somewhere down the line, whether it's through your own volition or because she tells you, hey, it's time. I need my time again until the next time comes along.
Yeah. I also tried to put sort of like a gunslinger motif into this in a funny sort of way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I get
know,
that.
I
like the
trying to hurt your hurt, but something in your eyes says none of my words at work. Or the we shared water, lit a bottle of wine, talked about all those high noons with all their truths and their fair share of lies. You know, it was the idea that. Part of what a lot of men do at the same time that the woman's, you know, all so all alone, by being strong and keeping that front up, you do it to yourself too, you know?
Oh, I like that. Yeah. So it there's a little split to this that works on both ends.
Right, right. It reads both ways.
Nice. I like that.
Look at it.
Excellent. Boy, that's a long time ago too. 40 plus years.
Yeah, well, you know, it really
hey,
is. I would love to just put the music sometime because I think it would make a great song. But
actually, let's see this as something a little on the a countryside or maybe a little folk.
Yeah, you know, a little jazz, a little blues.
Ooh, actually, I like that too. Thank you very much for bringing this along, Tom.
It's one of those things that shows a lot of my influences all over the place.
Ah, so the thoughts with the Steamboat Whistle Foghorn, that there was deliberate notes to that which would shine through back in those days.
Yeah, well, I mean, those sounds, to me, some of the loneliest sounds in the world are the steamboat whistle, the foghorn moan, listening to that jetliner passing low over your room. I mean, those to me are lonely sounds.
Yeah, they are. They're baseful, like that that old hound dog in the woods moaning at the moon.
Right, right. And so then when you get that contrast, you know, the sunlight is shining, yeah, there's not a cloud in the sky, you know, listen to all those birds singing. It's better than hearing me cry. Contrast.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for dropping it on the board tonight. Much enjoyed.
No, thank you. This is one of those ones that no matter how old I get, I keep coming back to it. So, you know, you got to kind of display your faith, I guess.
Something that sits long in the memory.
Right.
Excellent. Dan, you got awful quiet.
What's that?
I said you got awful quiet.
Well, that's because I am just sitting back and appreciating listening to two intelligent, sexy men have a conversation. Can't blame a girl for getting quiet.
I think we just got buttered there. Real good, Tom.
Yeah, right. You know, that can be read more than one way.
I really was just appreciating the conversation, and I did like, Tom, how you brought up how the sound of the steamship and that horn can convey sadness and loneliness, because so many people think about using imagery in poetry, which is obviously very important. You know, poems would be very boring, in my opinion, without imagery. But there's also other tools to utilize, such as to convey emotion or to create an emotive reaction in the reader, and sound is one of them. So I definitely did appreciate that. And
what say, where you want to go next?
All right. Well, up next we have Horizon by Never Was, and I'll go ahead and give this one a read. And it goes like this. The horizon reaches into me. I can feel it closer, closing in. Sunny kisses on my skin. Standing here, it's warming up. Naysayers held at bay. Storm clouds may be black and rolling in. But together, with you here now, I'm feeling careless. Welcome the escape. Sandy shores grew so lonesome. Bitter empty waiting away. Bright turned muted grays. Long lost love forlorn. But you taught me patience, waiting so long to be restored. Becomes castles for the voyager. Rolling back and with the waves I've been waiting. The tides always washed it all away. But I knew, heaven never so far away. And with every grain of sand we were holding them together in our hands. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Tom, why don't you start us off? What do you think?
I like how he opens it with the horizon reaches into me. Because then he speaks about it being closer and the warmth on his skin, you know, those good feelings it has, and how it holds the negatives at bay, even when you can see the storm clouds be black and rolling in. But he's just really just enjoying that feeling of the sunshine and welcoming it. And then when he shifts to where he's standing, the sandy shores and the colors he uses, the bright turned muted gray, long lost love forlorn, that's almost like a foghorn, and that those bit about the sand, the things that crumble, the things that fall away until you hold whatever you've got, no matter how small it is. And so I like that way he gets to the grain of sand. We were holding on to them together in our hands. Really, it really sings the blues really, really well, but he does it with a nice use of contrast and pulling you in just by the way he plays the different aspects of sitting on the shore, looking out across the ocean at the horizon. He lives up to the title beautifully.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Tom. All right, Pam, how about you?
I really liked this. I like that she starts out in the title and the imagery of the horizon reaches into me. When you look into the horizon, the other, there's such a kind of a promise of the possibilities that are coming in the future. The phrase, sunny kisses on my skin, standing here, it's warming up, naysayers held at bay. I feel like within those lines is that idea of I'm going to be who I want to be, I'm going to love who I want to love, and I'm not going to worry or listen to the negativity. I like how this has the imagery in the second part of the beach and the castles for the voyagers. And it's interesting because, you know, the where it says, waiting so long for your shore become castles for the voyager, makes her a really great metaphor and the whole idea that, you know, you can become a fortress of strength that shows other people that you've gotten through a difficult time. And yet when you have that at the end where it says being washed away, you can't help but think that, you know, they were castles of sand, that it was, you know, perhaps, you know, only a temporary thing. And I really like that ending to it. With every grain of sand, we were holding them together in our hands. Because, you know, to me that just really speaks of the whole process of healing and how it can't be done alone. So really a wonderful emotive write and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Tom hit that note for the blues in his right, and you hit on that thought with the horizon and looking out and noting that tone to that which is possible. And that whole first stanza kind of hits on that note, horizon reaching in, sunny kiss on my skin, standing here, it's warming up. Naysayers held at bay. Storm clouds may be black and rolling in, but together with you here now, I'm feeling careless. Welcome to escape. There's those last two lines hit that note of passing beyond that little touch of darkness, which obviously been sitting in, and welcoming that that ease of thought, that warmth, that that carefree attitude in the moment. And that second one hits a bit more on the blues angle, but it also you taught me patience, waited so long to be restored, and you hit on that note that cast us for the voyager, rolling back in with the waves. So you get a notion of how life walks through, because sandcastles always get way to the waves and waves. But the ending again hit that note for the horizon and the note of hope. With every grain of sand we were holding them together in our hands. There's a note of a nice warmth and memory there, as well as that thought with long lost love forlorn that started out the fourth line in that stanza itself. Nicely done there, Never Was. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you got there?
Great comment here, Rex. And up next, we have Dip and Sway by Martha Gettle, and that has a SoundCloud. So let me mosey on over there and find it. There it is, and push play.
Dip and Sway by Martha Gettle. I'm lost in your love, what can I say? Take me in your arms, we'll dip and sway. Your love is all I've got on my mind. Come over here and love me tonight. I'm lost in the music of love, it's true. I want to dance this night with you. Love has got me tapping my feet. Come and dance this song with me. I'm lost in the melody of your sweet love. You, my darling, are all I'm dreaming of. The melody of love carries me away, as in your arms I dip and sway. All I ever thought love could be, I have in the melody you play for me. So kiss me, baby, we'll dance around the room. When I'm in your arms, I'm over the moon. I'm lost in the melody of your sweet love. You, my darling, are all I'm dreaming of. The melody of love carries me away, as in your arms I dip and sway. Baby, your love makes me feel just right. I can't wait to dance in your arms tonight. So turn on the music, turn it soft and low. Tonight there's nowhere else we need to go.
Great song, Martha. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Kim, why don't you kick it off?
All right. Well, I tell you, this is a song that makes you really want to dip and sway. You know, the thing is, I think even the most uncoordinated of us appreciates a song about dancing with someone you really love. You know, there's something just, you know, when it comes to dancing arm in arm, there's just a wonderful intimacy about it. On a technical level, I thought, you know, that she had some spots in here that had just wonderful rhythm and flow, especially that ending stanza. You know, baby, your love makes you feel this right. I can't wait to dance in your arms tonight. So turn on the music, turn it soft and low. Tonight, there's nowhere else we need to go. I like the way that reads. And I also really like the line of, I'm lost in the music of love, it's true. I want to dance this night with you. You know, the thing is, yeah, I like how this is a song and how it's inspired by one of the contest prompts. I think Martha always does a wonderful job of having her own take on a prompt. But I like that she calls it the music of love, almost like as if the way that love makes you feel creates a kind of music inside of you. Or it also makes me think how oftentimes you have that song that is your song as a couple. So just a wonderful song all the way through and very well done.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Pam. And Tom, what did you think?
Yeah, this has sort of a Rodgers Hammerstein feel to me. It got that real sense of a musical, but it's a great celebration, you know, like when a couple, you know, discovered each other and just found out, or even if it could be an older couple who were just dancing with memories of when they were younger. It just comes across. It's just a really lovely, delightful, joyous song about being with the person you love, having them in your arms, dip and sway, and just loving the fact that you're loving them. This is the kind of piece you just want to hear because it makes you feel good.
I like that, Tom. Thank you very much. I couldn't agree with you more. That second stanza and the first lead into the chorus had me thinking of a little Tennessee flavor. And this would be something that Dolly Parton would have a lot of fun singing to or singing of. The Tapping Feet, Come and Get a Song with Me. I'm Lost in the Melody of Your Sweet Love. My Darling are all I'm dreaming of. The Melody of Love Carries Me Away, as in your arms, a different sway. For some reason, Dolly Parton kind of stuck out as a noted thought to somebody who'd sing this and sing it well. Thank you very much, Martha. All right, Pam.
I like that thought, Rex. Yeah, you're absolutely right. This would be a great one to hear. That I think, as you said, Dolly Parton would really enjoy.
It has
enjoy.
That feeling that she often exuded in what she sang. So,
yeah, you know, like her lyrics are often heartfelt, and they talked about. She sang oftentimes about things people could relate to, like love and intimacy and just really just enjoying life. So, very cool. All right.
What should we dip into next and sway to?
Next, yeah, now that we're done dipping and swaying, we'll dip into Killing Me Tonight by Hugo Jepson. And Tom, will you give that a read for us, please?
Killing Me Tonight by Hugo Jepson. It hurts me so much within. I just feel my heart getting thin, and I feel a stroke inside of me. I want to get out of me, away with it. I feel like rainbows for real, but I never accepted such a deal. I feel some gold in your touch, but it was never, ever enough. I feel some passion inside my bones, but it was really never shown. And I feel your warmth at night, even if you're sleeping outside. And all the memories kept above are coming back so strong this time that all I feel now is just love, and that love is killing me tonight. End poem.
Great read, Tom. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this one kind of just grabs at the heartstrings and pulls. Of course, I can't help but think of the song Killing Me Softly. That comes to mind. And, you know, the thing is I think that what I get, the idea that I get from this is that it's a love that isn't returned. And I think that hurts even more. Like, when a relationship ends and both people agree it ends, yeah, there can be a kind of sadness there. But this has the kind of sadness where there's no longer a relationship. There's no longer any emotional or physical intimacy. They've parted ways, but that the pain, the thought, that, like, you still lay in bed thinking about them. And I like how this mixes up the rhyme and not rhyme. I don't usually like that, but for some reason it seems to work with this one. I really like how he says, I feel some rainbows for real, but I never accepted such a deal. The idea that, you know, that the idea of chasing the rainbows, looking for that pot of gold, and giving yourself that sense of almost a false hope, if you know, temporarily, when on the inside you just, you know, almost like you know something's going to end. And then I also really like, I feel some passion inside my bones. As always, the imagery and the metaphor of bones works really well for me because it's what it represents, that deepest part of ourselves. You often think that if somebody feels something all the way in their bones, then it's something they hold deep inside. It's something that is fully a part of themselves. And for people who are extremely passionate, it's like you love fully, you hate fully. There's just oftentimes it's difficult to find that in between. So just a beautiful, heartfelt write and very well done.
Nice to say. Yeah, thank you very much. And Tom, you got to read that and you read it well. How about you?
He's got a nice rhythm and lyricism going on here. Which made it easy to pick up on, and also made it easier to read. I like the imagery, because while he's not working with any major metaphor, touches at quick little details, like I feel some rainbows are for real, I feel some passion inside my bones. And that it catches you and gets you to pause. Sometimes the best thing you can do in a poem is sort of to hook people enough to get them to sort of start looking at the rest of the piece, because a line here, a line there, you know, just had the right force to it. Good job all the way through.
Great comment there, Tom. Thank you. This kind of struck me as someone who's very wary, whether it's from being hurt in the past or is just that's just the way they are physically and mentally. I just feel my heart getting thin, and I feel a stroke inside of me. And I feel some rainbows for real, but I never accepted such a deal. So there's such a thought that there is some feeling there, but it's all get pushed aside. It was never enough. It was never really shown. And then there's that note to the last stanza where it's maybe there's a little bit of dawning of awareness. And all the memories kept above are coming back so strong this time that all I feel now is just love. And that love is killing me tonight. An offering up of knowing you let something good get away and you're paying the price for being maybe so aloof or standoffish. That thought is, you've learned something finally in that moment. It just offers up the painful back-end thought of just kind of not being there in the moment as opposed to actually digging in wholeheartedly.
Sharp.
Back to you, Pam.
I like that thought, Rex. Well said there.
So where would you like to go next?
All right. Up next, we have Come On Over by Naomi Sarah. And we have a recording for that one. So let me find that. Here it is. And here we go.
Come on over. Oh, hush. Stop. Listen to the water a-humming. Over grass leaves, moss, stones. Does your heart beat, baby, to its own song, melody? Or does your heart ache, can't laugh and sing no more? Oh, babe, tell me. If you don't know how to be cheerful like before, if your circle has left, if you could not follow it, come, come on over, babe. We'll get lost in the melody. I will open my arms to you. I'm not the kind of buffoon that triggers laughter, that maybe together we'll find some joy. Come on over, babe. If you can't bite into life that takes all of you, because it's the life that bites you every day. If you can't answer the blows it throws at you, come, come on over, babe. I'll be in my yard, I can't heal, I can't fight, but maybe together, babe, we'll find the trick. Oh, babe, don't forget that it's the drops of water that feed the hollow of the stream. The stream can find the sea, maybe, or maybe we'll find the light. If you want to know the path to follow, if you want to understand what you're going for, if you see your boat drifting, come on over, babe. I'll have some rum for you. I'm not a sailor, though. I live far from the shore. But maybe together, babe, we'll find a way there. Oh, babe, if you wonder about the secret of things untold, if you don't know what to think about the unknown, if the questions you ask are not answered, babe, come, come, come on over. We'll get lost in the melody unsung.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Thomas, why don't we start with you, please?
This has got some really nice, I don't want to say this, it's an invitation from start to finish. It's about the possibility, you know, does your heart beat, baby, to its unsung melody? Or does your heart ache, can't laugh and sing no more? Oh, babe, tell me. You know, I'm open. I'll listen to whatever you want to share. We'll get lost in a melody. I will open my arms to you. But I love that. that brief little interlude she throws in here. I'm not the kind of buffoon that triggers laughter, but maybe together we'll find some joy. That's a really tasty little tidbit. And it's just this almost like, you know, waves hitting the shore. So finally you're sort of soothed into it and you're sort of caught up by it. The way she just goes, "Oh, babe, don't forget that it's the drops of water that feed the hollow of the streams. If the streams can find the sea, maybe, oh, maybe, we will find the light." I mean, you know, just these little, it's just like little pressures, these little promises, these little invitations. It's in its own way a very deeply sensuous, suggestive piece, simply because of the way that it keeps promising that there's a chance. "Oh, baby, if you wonder about the secret things untold, if you don't know what to think about the unknown, if the questions you ask are not answered, babe, come on over. We'll get lost in a melody unsung." I mean, even in the very end, she's saying, you know, none of this matters. What's important is just be available. And just really, really nicely done.
Excellent, Tom. Thank you very much. I'm very much on that line, too. Tam, how about you?
I really like this, and what I like is that the invitation doesn't say, you know, all is well with me, all is well with you. It says, you know, both of us are struggling. We both have our flaws, you know, but let's spend time together and see, you know, how we can be there for each other. I do like, she has a beautiful reading voice. I like the imagery of, "Oh, hush, stop and listen to the water, a humming over grassy moss stones. Does your heart beat, baby, to its unsung melody?" And I like how there's this kind of this invitation to sit down next to someone and talk with them. And I really like the stanza, "I'm not the kind of buffoon that triggers laughter, but maybe together we'll find some joy." And it's not, you know, like we don't have to sit here telling each other jokes. You know, we don't have to be hysterical. You know, we can just be here in the quietness, be here with each other and find that joy in the music of the water, in the music of nature, and in the music each other. She's got some really clever lines in here, like, "I'll have some rum for you, but I'm not a sailor, though. I live far from the shore, but maybe together, babe, we'll find a way there." I like how that line, "maybe together we'll find a way there," can represent the idea of following any kind of dreams. So I just really like how this is an offering of togetherness, and, you know, of two flawed people, you know, just appreciating each other's company. So just absolutely a wonderful, heartfelt write and very well done.
Nicely said there, Pam. Thank you very much. Tom, I like what you said about the essential undertones in this, and it does ring out true. There's also something else. This is all about hope, almost that whispering thought of notation for somebody who's hurting in the moment, and she's offering up that which might be necessary because she has feelings on the other side of this. It hits on the, where was it? "We'll get lost in a melody. I will open my arms to you. I'm not the kind of buffoon that triggers laughter, but maybe together we'll find some joy." And then again, "I'll be in my yard. I can't heal. Oh, I can't fight. But maybe together, babe, we'll find the trick." And it was one. Oh, yeah. The next, very next stanza. "Don't forget that it's the drops of water that feed the hollow of the streams. If the streams can find the sea, maybe, oh, maybe, we will find the light." There's that nice notation running through it of hope that lingers, and she's just waiting for him to acknowledge the fact that he hears that little touch of noted hunger within her voice. And then that last ending, "Come, come on over and we'll get lost in a melody unsung. The melody unsung is that thought of them not being together in the moment, and the melody that she alludes to in the top, maybe together we'll, oh no, not that one. We'll get lost in the melody. I will open my arms to you. So there's that thought right there with the unsung melody being that which they're not indulging in now, but she's already offered up her arms with that melody up top. So there's that lingering hope and desire that he comes across and notes what is in the offering there as it is. All right, Anne, we're coming back to you.
Well said there, Rex. I like how you brought up the hope and the unsung melody being the offering. You know, so very cool. And up next we have Rain by KT Hsu. And Rex, will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Rain by KT Hsu. Rain is falling from my eyes when it should be falling from the skies. When I want it to stop, it continues drop after drop as it flows down my cheek. I hear it speak. It says softly, your heart aches, and I feel the heart break. Raindrops keep flowing, no chance of slowing. Why does the rain come every night? Why do they blur my sight? The storm gets worse. This rainstorm is a curse. Me mind seems to travel. Shall my consciousness unravel? The secret buried inside, the cause of this river's tide, flowing from deep within, that is about to begin. But it stops when my eyes close, so that nobody knows. But during the day, I act happy in every way. End poem. All right, Pam, you got this one to start with.
Well, first of all, great read. I really like this. You know, she manages to very well capture emotion through imagery, through the falling of the rain, the tears. Rain is falling from my eyes when it should be falling from the skies. I like the rhyme and flow in that, and I like the way it makes you realize that everything just feels so out of a place. Like, it's about sadness and it's about despair, but it's also like feeling like things aren't as they should be. I like that she puts in the why question. I always say why is one of the most difficult questions to answer because there often isn't an answer. Why does the rain come every night? Why do they blur my sight? The storms get worse. And I like those lines because it's very relatable. Like, anybody who has been through sadness and depression, either just because you're dealing with depression or because you're dealing with heartbreak, it's oftentimes during the day you keep yourself really busy and you don't have to focus on what's hurting you. But when you lay down at night, that's when all of a sudden your mind turns on all those thoughts. And you can't help but remember, you know, everything that has hurt you, or perhaps everything that anything that you've done to hurt people. You know, so it really touches on the fact that nighttime is the most difficult for when your heart is hurting. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Nicely said, Dan. Thank you very much. And, Paulus, how about you?
Now, this has got a real R&B feel to me because I was listening to it, found myself thinking of Smokey Robinson, Tears of the Clown, or The Four Tops. Can you see the raindrops hide my teardrops? It's got that feel to it to me, and the feeling of, you know, I need the rain in a way to hide the fact that I'm crying, and that just sort of somehow makes it feel even worse in a way, and I like the double on the double meanings, and the storm gets worse, this rainstorm curse, you know, both the rain outside and the rain inside. And shall my consciousness unravel the secret buried inside, the cause of this river tide flowing from deep within. There's a real soulfulness in that, and it really captures the depth of the love, the depth of the pain, the how much the whole thing tortures her in its own way. And then that cover, you know, so that nobody knows, for during the day I act happy in every way. Yeah, it's just, it's impressive. It really does have a strong, soulful, feel to it that I really like. I mean, just, I can hear certain R&B singers really just taking it to the top.
Well said there, Tom. I agree with you. I was thinking of The Sky is Crying with that thought with the opening few lines. And you guys had great comments, but there was something else that down near the bottom third, me mind seems to travel, shall my consciousness unravel? And then the secret buried inside the cause of this river's tide flowing from deep within. That is about to begin. The secret buried inside. Now, is that the secret itself is the cause for the tears and the blueness and the pain that's sang heavily in this? Is the secret that hard one that you need to keep it buried so it makes you miserable while offering up a happy face on the outside, which undoubtedly people see, but somewhere down the line, there's a noticeable thought that it's almost put on, so to speak, because there is something bothering, because nobody keeps that much misery buried deep all day long without showing a little bit of it here and there. So whatever that secret is that caused this river's tide, it's heartfelt and it wants it buried, but maybe the idea, if you let that secret go, then maybe a bit of the blueness goes along with it, at least if you're not burying it.
That's where I got the tears of the clown.
Okay, great, yeah. There's something really hard-edged about that secret buried inside. It's almost like it's a offering up your own prison cell in the moment. And that's a hard thought. But it was a nice piece, Rick. Thank you very much, KT. All right, Pam. Back to you.
I like, Rex, that you brought up the secret, because I do think that it's a very important part of the poem. And you're right, it does hit hard in the whole idea of, you know, the secret being held inside. I also really like, I have to say, the way that you say the word idea. I think that is just so adorable. I'm sorry, but it is.
Idea?
Yeah, you say idea, you're like, that's the idea. It's like, I don't know if it's that New York accent you have or what it is, but
Southern.
It's us. Oh, okay. Well, you just have so many different accents combined together because, you know, your parents were English. You lived a lot of your life in New York, and then you've spent the last few years down south. So you always just get this really interesting and wonderful little tidbits of everything.
Yes, the Heinz 57 is in the house.
Yeah. I just try to avoid letting the hillbilly come out, that's all.
I like doing the hillbilly voice now and then. It's a bit of fun, especially when you got the right piece for it.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It shows up on its own accord.
Oh, absolutely. And you can't stop it.
No.
Even if you don't want to read it that way, you end up reading it that way.
But don't you sometimes when somebody has an accent, find yourself talking just like them, and suddenly you're going, oh, God, I don't dare stop, or I will think I'm making fun of them, you know?
Right?
Yes, but it's not something you do it on purpose. It's something that it clicks in your mind as almost a an acknowledgement.
Well, it's how you fit in too. I mean, if you moved around enough, you know, if you sound like everybody else, you automatically are part of everybody else.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know, I know I had family on Long Island, you know, in Massapequa, and you learn how to talk like that too, you know.
Oh, I lived on Long Island, so, and you pronounced it correctly. Yes, it's always got to be Long Island. Yeah.
Long Island.
And that's the people I know. All right, Pam. What's up, Nick?
Don't get it started, Pam.
All right. Up next, we have Unsung Princess by Namya, and we have a recording for that. So here we go.
Unsung princess, my heart aches for you. There is a space in it shaped like you. I try to take you by the hand to come with me to Wonderland. Your eyes flood and I try to dry them, but you turn away from me as I reach for your hem. I try to sing to get you back, but the darkness is holding you fast. So I jump into the abyss to be with you. You are my crusade, my only truth. So together we embrace in the darkness, no longer alone, my beautiful princess.
Great read, Manuel. Thank you very much for the sound card. It's greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, you got the first tug at this.
I really like this. First of all, the title is wonderful, Unsung Princess. You know, it feels to me like that whole thought of, you know, the princess who doesn't get acknowledgement, the one who is quiet, the one who hides in the background, the wallflower. That's what it makes me think of, the wallflower. And I like how this is from that perspective of somebody who is watching someone go through depression, watching somebody who is sunk down in that hole and feels like they can't escape. And at first they try, you know, I try to take you by the hand to come with me to Wonderland. I try to sing to get you back, but the darkness is holding you fast. And then they realize, I love how in the last two stanzas, they realize that they're trying the wrong approach, and that it instead of trying to pull the other person towards that Wonderland, which, by the way, I love that she used Wonderland in there, or pull them towards the music and towards the light, she instead jumps into the abyss with them and sits down right next to you. Because sometimes in life, you don't need people to tell you that you should be happy, you should be dancing. You need a friend who will just sit there next to you in the abyss. And I think she really, I mean, with only 93 words, conveyed a lot of emotion within this, and the sense of really being there for somebody. So wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. Nicely said. And Thomas, how about you?
Well, I got this feeling of here's somebody that she really looks up to, and worships in a way, because your eyes flood and I try to dry them. You turn away from me as I reach for your hem. That sense of the looking up towards them and holding them in high esteem just really hit me on that verse. And I hear Pam about the first two verses, you know, that sense that she really wants to do something to help this person feel better and be greater, but the real devotion or love for this person shows up with her willingness to just join her and be there with her, to simply be there for her, regardless of where she may be, so that she's no longer alone. Because sometimes being that person who just wouldn't let you be who you are, as you are, where you are, is the greatest gift that you can give someone. It's a pretty stunning piece. A lot of depth and a lot of awakening in it.
Excellent comment, Tom. Thank you very much. And that's why I kind of thought this came out like almost a play, 2-1-2-1 in act, so to speak. Those first two stanzas, the thought, my heart aches for you. There's a space in it shaped like you. Was a nice, that's a great touch. And then thought, come with me to Wonderland. Then that single stanza, your eyes flood, and you turn away from me as I reach for your hem. And then the new turn, I try to sing to get you back. Then the thought of, so I jump into the abyss to be with you. There's that sacrifice in the moment that you would find in a third act of the play. And then the fourth would be that happy, even though it might be a little bit dark at the moment, it is a happy note where the in that jump, they found each other in the darkness. So the idea of being together in the moment holds itself up to a finishing act, which was I thought was pretty cleverly done. All right, Pam.
Okie dokie, Smokey. What was that?
I'm back to you.
It's that time again.
All right. I know. It comes back to me so quickly. All right. I have to say, though, there has been some wonderful poetry and comments tonight. All right. I'm actually going to put my poem up next and give that a read. And this is the forward vision of a summer road. And it goes like this. There's a long stretch of summer road leading to a cabin in the woods. A man has one hand on the steering wheel and another on his woman's shoulder. She's looking at him like maybe she's died and gone to heaven. Depeche Mode's personal Jesus blasting into the heart of a sapphire sky. The man mouths the words while keeping his vision always forward because he knows the deer could jump out in the split second between life and death. He doesn't know if there's a higher power watching over this brutal, ugly world, but he knows this lady is a gift, and it's his task to be ever vigilant, his duty to protect her from that last breath before her time, and the sadness she feels when Bambi's blood baptizes the dented fender. The song ends. The woman turns down the radio because who the hell cares about the listing of local festivals when the mind is trying to swing from the stars. She can't help but ask, even though she knows he wants to avoid the subject. What does it feel like? Does it change you? Only a slight twitch plays in his stone jawline. Christ almighty, woman, you damn well know I won't give you the answers. I pray you never find them. She touches her palm to the stubble on his cheek and inhales the musk of his scent. But you don't believe in the power of prayer. No, he replies, but I do believe in the power of me and you, the power of singing duets and the power of loving you beneath far-reaching branches of ancient pine. She laughs the sound of someone who knows complete and uncomplicated joy. She looks ahead with a daisy chain smile. Murder and philosophy can wait their turn, because right now on the horizon is black coffee brewed on a wood stove and the kind of love that spreads itself beneath the honest weight of a secondhand quilt. And
great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Tom, why don't you kick us off? What'd you think?
Well, I love the last one, the last two lines. It just hit me right off the bat, man, right between the eyes. It's the whole thing just set up in the delivery of those last two lines. This has got a real nice mix of the guy with more feelings than he knows how to explain, even though he knows he's got them and he's not ashamed. A little touch of sort of the Southern fundamentalist running up against somebody who is fundamental but without getting religious, and that feeling of the honesty of the love between them overcoming everything. This is a great tale, and it's well sung, and it's got a really nice pair of characters. But when you come to that, look ahead with a daisy chain smile, and because right now on the horizon is black coffee brewed on a wood stove, and the kind of love that spreads itself beneath the honest weight of a secondhand quilt. You just want to cheer. I mean, this is great. Oh, great, great, great. I really felt good.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Well said, Tom. And I'll agree with you. There's something dark and brooding in this. It has that nice stride of noirish voice that rolls in it, especially with the little interjections of conversation. And what else was I thinking of? It kind of reminds me of Bogey and Bacall, and then that final stretch at the back end where there's almost an admission to what's going on, and finally the giving in, so to speak, where it comes to that last stanza.
Did Rex drop? He just commented a very odd place. Nope, he's there.
No, I just ended my comment on the right
note. At a very odd place. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Rex, for the comment and the observation. I always appreciate them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, how come that wasn't out for you to duke it out loud?
What's that?
And how come that you didn't do that for duke it out loud?
Do what out loud?
Oh, my God. How come you didn't do that piece of Buke It Out Loud?
Okay. I don't know. I don't know, honestly. Yep. Sorry. Sorry. I think I'll go ahead and move us on to the next right.
She's getting embarrassed. You can hear her blushing.
All right, what we got
That's
next?
That's right. I'm a delicate flower, and I embarrass easily. So.
You're right. I blush, and I'm no delicate flower.
Boy, that was full of cow patties.
What, you don't believe I'm a delicate flower? Jeez.
Nah.
Well, that was flung out too easily. And considering some of the other rights now.
true. Yes. Very true. All right. Well, up next, we have Vagabond Dreams by Eric Svensson. And we have a recording for that. So let me find that. And here we go.
Vagabond dreams, weightless glide, buoyant upon a cloud, featherlight float, twist, twill of autumn leaves upon a stream, gentle eddies will, spin intrepid travelers, vagabonds bear no umbrage, voice awakens wanderlust, split seconds decision, immersion into diversion, subtle soul whispers strum, release all glum and gloom, listen to the words, throw caution to the wind, and we'll run away. Vagabond dreams percussion, ride upon deliberate deep breaths, unhindered rhythms join standing waves. Salt spray jubilation, swell surge, forward motion sweep, high-crested happiness froth, pointed eagle beaks dive down back into the ocean, boisterous bliss attained in split seconds, unbridled energy runs the gauntlet, seagulls celebrating heady head over heels cartwheel flights. Wanderlust resides deep within mindful heart recesses, persist like river ingenuity, desert desolation circumvented, sandstone worn away over time, salmon swift soul urges scale improbability rapids, dance into the light vagabond's will. Gypsy rovers roam vale and hill alike. The path less traveled within unravels. Wide circumference world beckons. Lighthouse beam guides through misty misgivings. Venture out from comfort zone. Set foot on foreign soil, sail the seven seas, split second immersion, senses quicken, surreal glide down the tube, ticker tape parade rains down, togetherness dances a new tune. Ace of base, cut to the chase, adieu to a fellow traveler, an intrepid explorer of unseen vagabond realms. Weightless glide, cloud buoyant, feather light floats the soul of a musical poet. Twist, twill of autumn leaves upon a stream, gentle eddies will spins an intrepid traveler onwards. Rest in clarity, beyond duality's disparity, feisty fifth musical note Greg Gilbert, tap dance upon tessellated heavenly staircase, end celebration poems.
Excellent read, Eric. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, you get to go first.
I remember the group Ace of Base. They had like one song that was particularly popular back in the 90s, but it's totally just blanking out, but I do remember them. I like that he went and wrote to the song Wanderlust. It, you know, Eric always comes across as somebody, you know, who appreciates and enjoys travel, so I can see why he would choose that song. I like how, you know, this is a tribute to the singer himself, especially in that last stanza, but also a tribute to anybody who has the desire to travel and to learn. And, you know, I like the way Eric always puts stuff in his poems, like where he mentions the fifth musical note, that, you know, makes me want to Google things, makes me want to learn. That's one of the things I really appreciate about poetry, is being given the opportunity to learn. Some wonderful alliteration in here. I really like Vagabond Dreams, percussion, ride upon deliberate deep breaths, unhindered rhythms, join standing waves, salt spray jubilation. To me, in some of this imagery, there's that whole idea of, you know, enjoying life to the fullest. And I like where you mentioned the imagery of seagulls celebrate and heady head over heels cartwheel flight. Seagulls fly and soar and dive as if they don't care at all what is going on with the rest of the world or what the rest of the world thinks of them. I also like that he mentions lighthouse beam guides through misty misgivings. because even, you know, when you're traveling or, you know, when you've made mistakes, or whatever's happened that you need guidance back, it's always good to know that there's those familiar friends, family, friends, people that you can turn back to, and they'll be that lighthouse that you need. Just absolutely wonderful use of imagery and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you very much. And Thomas, how about you?
I really like this piece. He really goes into a full, I don't want to say this, display, covers just all aspects of a man's life in a way without saying he is. And weightless sky, buoyant upon a cloud, feather-like float, and opens it up and then just takes us off, you know, in this wonderful vision of exploring and looking and seeing, and, you know, the vagabond bear no umbrage, voice awakens wanderlust, split second decision, immersion into diversion, subtle soul whispers drum, release all glum and gloom. You know, he's taking us into this man studying his entire life and his whole pathway with cancer, and just and doing it with a sense of aliveness and celebration and vibrant respect for life that comes out in Gilbert's work. And the alliteration, the musicalness of this just speaks to the character, desert desolation circumvented, sandstone worn over time, salmon swift souls, urge, scale, impalpability, rapids. I just, the alliteration and assonance and consonance, and this is just, it's one of his finest moments in terms of using those tools and techniques to really just take you almost on this facade dance of everything. And that description of heaven and tessellated heavenly staircase is just a stunning ending in all of this, because it just further uplifts and celebrates everything that we've been given, or that he feels we've been given by this man's efforts. It's great. I'm really impressed.
That was a wonderful comment, Thomas, and I couldn't agree with you more. That ending line with the tessellated heavenly staircase was a wonderful finish. Plus, there were some other great thoughts in here, too. I mean, there was the lighthouse beam guides through misty misgivings, another nice touch there, and as well as dance into the light, vagabond's will, gypsy rose, roam vale and hill alike. Again, salmon swift soul urges scale. There's some great lines and thought as to making that transition from one viewpoint of the realm into the next one, which was cleverly done in such a way that celebrates and honors the angle to death as well. So wonderful piece, Eric, and it's probably one of your best ones I've read, and you've done quite a bit. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, where would you like to go next?
All right, I'm going to go ahead and I am going to put your poem up, Rex. And as you know, we have a recording for that, so I'll go ahead and push play.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. You descend on me yet again. I am a creature, man, and a fiend. From me no good is ever gleaned. I am a soulless entity of reproach. I feed on death and its approach. These are the sounds of slurping. Blackness, vileness, putridity. You look upon its profanity. I revel in your sloughing stew, where my appetite is sated anew, in yards of rancid biological waste. Infectious intestines, mine to taste. These are the sounds of slurping. In the darkness I do come. Your sweetened belly reeks of rum. In the coffin where you lie, lid removed so I may ply. In the sound of voices never heard. Sometimes life is so absurd. These are the sounds of slurping. Ha ha, fools, you'll never see the coming blight, which is me. We will take chunks from you, down to bone through muscle, sinew, masticating grunts, ever clear, selected treats, so very dear. Those are the sounds of slurping. With these souls and my mate, it's our first slurping date. We shall have ravenous fun, till at last you are done. And with the gaze of our grimace, the last thing you shall witness are those sounds of slurping.
Yeah, that was a little bit rude, and I want it. But there's a point to that. Yeah, in 2 weeks, we're doing we're doing Halloween 2 weeks for music. But sort of bringing this out as a point of note, we're going to be looking for rights playing on the Halloween theme in a parody scale. So, and that'll be up tomorrow.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to that.
I think it'll be some fun.
Oh, absolutely.
That way people can pick their own pieces. I won't be putting anything, maybe some suggestions, but the thought is, hey, pick your own piece and have some fun with it.
Yep. Very cool. Very cool. Well, let's make sure you get some comments. Tom, your thoughts.
Well, first, my father was a line officer in the Navy, and in his command he had Art Garfunkel's brother under him. So I got to go to lunch with my father, Art Garfunkel, and his brother was on point, and I was very impressed by Art Garfunkel's sense of humor and gentleness. And he probably would laugh his ass off of this. Paul Simon, you to court. I mean, the difference between the two is just, you know, astounding sometimes to me. I'm always amazed that they were friends. This is funny. This is just delightful. It plays on the song and parodies it really nicely. Does a great job of playing with a sense of horror while at the same time poking fun at the song that it's based on. I'm really delighted in this. It was great to hear it.
Thank you very much.
Truthfully, I say that with a lot of respect, because I want you to know most parodies leave me really cold.
Well, this was kind of, it's a bit brutal, but you know what? I had too much fun with it, so.
Hey, I, you know, I love lines like, where my appetite is sated anew in yards of rancid biological waste, infectious intestines mine to taste. I mean, that plays really well.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Great comments, Tom. You know, I've always enjoyed your dark humor. You do dark humor in such a way that it balances out really nicely. Like, you've got the darkness in there, and at the same time, as Tom mentioned, you know, there's that kind of bit of poking fun. Also, as someone who doesn't do really good with parodies, I always admire people who have that gift to pull off a parody, which you do. It's so fabulous. I like, of course, that you went with the slurping, and then when you did the recording, you didn't just say the word slurping, you did the sound effects. I thought that was really awesome there. And this is great all the way through, but I especially like where you said, ha ha, fools, you'll never see the coming blight, which is me. We will take chunks from you down to bone through muscle, sinew, methane, grunts, ever clear. I mean, that whole stanza is probably my absolute favorite. But you know what I always say, Rex, when it comes to doing evil laughs at the end of the recording, you are king. So just absolutely a fabulous write and song, and very well done.
Well, thank you very much, Pam. Where do you want to go next?
All right. Up next, we have... Amber and Cold by Twinkle Star. And Tom, will you give that a read for us, please?
Okay. Amber and Cold by Twinkle Star. I fell in love with a star on mid-November gold. Amber autumn lights burned far and cold. When your words crimson ripe lips with metaphors of metallic frail frills painted on my face a pale shade of white late into the auburn night so bright. Mountain halo resting on fallen sky on rays of moonlight silent beam to fly under the current drops. No strangers to pain to the cold and shivering silver rain. Beneath dim shade of midnight street lamps on my windowsill bathed in glitter star dust. When howling winds of a thousand thoughts cast evil spell on my heartbeat of amber quartz. So many moons. So many full moons between now and then, so many rainstorms filled from my fountain pen. Thousand iron casts, chain links forged each passing day. Angels of wax like hunted prey flying away. Amber autumn lights flickering far and cold. Silently, I fell in love with a star on mid-November gold. End poem.
Great read, Thomas. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you get to go first.
I really like this. What's intriguing to me about this is it's very close to being in form like a sonnet with the you know, I don't know, like with the couplet at the end, but it's interesting because they also have I like that they have the same couplet at the beginning and the end. There's this kind of sort of like wrap around that works well. A wonderful use of imagery, mountain halo resting on fallen sky, on rays of moonlight, silent beams that fly under the crystal drops, no strangers to pain, to the cold and shivering silver rain. What I like about that stanza is the fact that it shows this beautiful imagery, and yet it shows us at the same time that even though they're looking at this beautiful imagery, there's this sense of suffering, of going through pain. I also like how she conveyed the passing of time. So many full moons between now and then, so many rainstorms spill from my fountain pen. And it's the whole idea of the idea that, you know, sense the loss, sense, you know, everything fell apart. There's time is marked in the passing of the full moons and the passing of the rainstorms. I also like that she brings in cast evil spell. When the howling winds of a thousand thoughts cast evil spell on my heartbeat of amber quartz. You know, I like that she went with amber quartz rather than just saying a heart of stone. But there's almost, I don't know, I can't really convey. I know every stone has a different meaning, so I'm not quite sure what the meaning of amber is, or if it just mainly means like amber, the whole idea of, you know, like this sap from a tree hardens, and, you know, there's kind of that idea and imagery there, and I like the idea of being bombarded with all those thoughts that, you know, you can't escape from. This is really just a strong emotive right all the way through, and very well done.
Nicely said that, Pam. I think the thought with the amber quartz is a yellowed crystallity, something easily breakable. And Tom, how about you?
Well, I think this is a wonderful in the way she uses color. She uses descriptions almost like they're objects, like things that are imprinted upon the spirit, imprinted upon the internal self. The pairing of the reversed couplets at the beginning and end, found myself doing sort of a Mozart routine where he would sometimes take a piece and flip it upside down and play it backwards. I found out that, you know, I did that with this piece, and it reads well in reverse just as it reads well the other way. I just find this whole thing rather fascinating. I love the, when your words kiss crimson ripe lips. There's something really luscious and sexy about that. And yet, she describes herself as a pale shade of white, late into the auburn nights so bright, this sense of burning, this sense of the red. And then we get to the second one with the mountain halo resting on fallen sky, the moonlight silent beam to fly. Again, this interplay between, you know, the colors of the night sky and the crystal drops hitting the and causing the pain, cold and shivering silver rain, and that whole verse with the amber quartz that we've talked about so much already. Again, you know, the glitter of stardust, the howling winds of a thousand thoughts, their evil spell on my heartbeat of amber quartz. Just the imagery and the way that it doesn't over, she doesn't over-dramatize, she doesn't overplay it with adjectives. She just gives you these really tight, sharp series of image after image so that you feel the pummeling almost from the way she pummels you with the image. So that when you finally reach that end, you can understand someone feeling strong emotions and being really caught at the extremes of sensation and feeling brought on by this relationship, wherever it goes in the end. And I like that triple dot, you know, the my mind just went blank. But that on that last pair, because there's more to come, and it's obvious once you've gotten done going through that run of information she gives you right from the title, Amber and Cold. Sharp piece.
Absolutely. I think you caught the note with that. The last two lines is a repeat from the first two, because that offering it up as the opening lines along with that first stanza paints such a nice, pleasant set of imagery, and the whole thing is loaded with both dark and bright images of that which is, as well as the cold, stirring notion and pain that rolls through this. When your words kiss crimson ripe lips with metaphors of metallic trail frills, painted on my face a pale shade of white, baked into the auburn night so bright. That was such a nice rendering in that first main stanza. And again, you hit on that mountain hill of rest now, another great stanza. But the next one, the third one, caught me. Beneath dim shade of midnight street lamps, on my windowsill bathed in British stardust, when the howling winds of a thousand thoughts cast evil spell on my heartbeat of amber quartz. There's a notation in that moment there, what once was in that first stanza, is now dissipated, gone. There's a loneliness there. And then again, that so many moons between now and then, so many rainstorms spills from my fountain pen. There's an outpouring of pain right there. Thousand iron cast chain links forged each passing day. Angels of wax like hunted prey flying away. That kind of brings back into the thought of the chain links forged. There's a notion of the strength in there, and the wax flying away, the dissipation of fear, so to speak. So that last couplet offers up the beginning where the love was strong, coming back around again. So the thought of what once was held can now be held once more, because it is returned again. All right, Pam, we're coming back to you.
Well said there, Rex. And next, we have Twirling in Daydreams by Betty Page. And it goes like this. Twirling in daydreams, wandering in your blue eyes, chase vivid rainbows across candy skies, living out our wildest dreams, passionate, carefree, erotic, insane. Be my phantasmic thrill ride, caress my sweet curves, softly, lusciously, having no inhibitions, drive me all the way. And poem.
Great read. Yeah, thank you very much. And I guess that's probably one of Betty's shortest ones I've seen. Very different. Thomas, why don't you start us off? What did you think?
She works with those trace sets, as I guess they're called. I just always am fascinated how much she can pack into three tight little lines, because she doesn't write long sentences. She writes these really short, tight little layered verses. Twirling in daydreams, wandering in your blue eyes, chase of vivid rainbows. There's so much just in that opening, you know, stanza. The daydreams, the blue eyes, the rainbows, and all the things that they can mean when they're tangled together. And she does a great job of tangling it all together. And in this one, she really plays well with the whole daydreams in the title, because you have the candy skies, the living in a wildest dreams, erotic and zane, phantasmic thrill ride. It's just, by the time she's done, you really get the drive me all the way, is both physical and so much in the emotional dreaming idea. It's vibrant. This is really good, Betty Page.
Excellent. Thank you, Tom. And Pam, how about you?
Well, this is a wonderful sensual brevity. Yeah, I was looking to the back and forth between the last two poems, this one and the last one, and because I knew they were both written by a woman. I was like, okay, which one can I have one of the guys read, and which one am I going to have to read? And when I saw the line, caress my sweet curves, I thought, well, I think this is probably the one that neither Tom or Rex would want to read. So,
yeah, like we should be reading Betty's poetry to begin with, aloud.
Right.
I always keep hoping. You know, I love Betty's poetry and I love reading it, but occasionally I'll think, can I get one of the guys to read this? And but she writes, and I really like this about her poetry, is she's unapologetically feminine. You know, she writes the kind of poetry from the point of view of a woman who loves sex, who loves being a woman. And I think that in itself has a certain power and strength to it. I like the use of the word phantasmic. And just like Tom said, you know, that she conveys so much in the imagery she provides in short lines. So this is beautifully written and very well done.
Excellent. You guys took the right road. I'm going to take the left road. You're right. It does walk along the lines that you drew. But this also walks another way. If you think about it, erotic, insane, be my phantasmic throne rhyme, caress my sweet curves, softly, lusciously, having no ambitions, drive me all the way. But then she starts out with twirling in daydreams, wandering in your blue eyes, chase vivid rainbows. There's that thought of hitting the Pacific Coast Highway and just driving, living out our wildest dreams, passionate, carefree, across those candy skies. So you've got that nice notion of hugging that highway on a long haul, thrill ride to the end.
I like that. Great observation.
For a metaphor.
Absolutely. But Betty does those nice notions of California fun all the time. So the interjection with Pacific Coast Highway and her thoughts to California and cars fits quite well. So I had to go there.
Awesome. Oh,
all right.
And
yeah.
Great show tonight, Rex.
Oh, excellent. Yes, it is. What you got coming up?
Well, I have a contest running for this Tuesday, Twisted Tuesday, with, I forget the artist's name, but absolutely just some beautiful, stunning artwork that I would like people to check out and
Love.
Be inspired by.
Stephanie Lowe.
Yes.
Oh, that's it. Yes, Stephanie Lowe. That's it. Thank you, Tom.
Oh, she's just great. Well, she's a great artist. No doubts about that.
And some great pictures
in there. She is. Really just inspiring. And people can go to the link I provided, and they can, you know, check out her other artwork. They don't have to just write to the art that I provided in the contest. And for your After Midnight show, Rex, we're going to do part two of Bukowski. And so there's no contest, but there is a topic board up if anybody has a Bukowski-inspired write that they'd like to, you know, share.
On the board. Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. Great show, Pam. Tom, thank you for coming on board and hanging out and having some fun with us. Much enjoyed. And... ELO is next Sunday. That's Electric Like Orchestra. So dig into that. That's been out for a few days. And remember, I'll have tomorrow, Halloween night, parodies. Guys, have some fun. Dig into that and surf the wildness on Halloween night.
Take care.
All right, gang. Good night. Thank you very much. And have a good evening.